you're all back to see why you're a bum. You're all back. Now, some would say, how does this man tell us things like that? Where in the world did he ever come up with the idea that we're bums? Well, you see, I listen to you much better than you listen to me. I've heard you say, man, am I bummed.
What a bummer.
So bummed really means depressed. And things aren't working right. And a bum, when something's on the bum, it means it doesn't work right. So out of your own mouth, you have been judged. You loiter. You're a bum. Now, verse 16, let's back up a little bit. Verse 16 says, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? In other words, you can pray till you're purple, and some of you have. You can quote scriptures till you become a sickening shade of purple, and some of you have and do. But it doesn't work. And the reason that it doesn't work is in verse 17, it says, seeing thou hatest instruction, and castest my words behind thee. You avoid the instruction, you avoid the chastisement, you avoid the singling out and exposing that thing that's wrong with you. And then when it becomes unavoidable, you just say, all right, fine, we'll just do it later. And the reasons that you come up for doing it later is varied as the number of people there are in the room. But it doesn't matter what reason you use, they're all lies. And you know the thing that I like about the Lord, he never judges me to be this or that. He waits for me to prove that I'm this or that, and he just tells me. I've learned from that. I only tell you what I see, I only tell you what I hear. I don't judgments, you've judged yourself. And for those that think that this is so difficult and it's going to take God a long time and all the excuses that you use, how hard it is and we need to listen to more tapes, and God, what are we going to do? He says, let's back up a little bit and let's camp on verse 18 for just a minute. He says, when thou sawest the thief, then thou consented with him. Notice, he didn't even have to talk to you. It doesn't say when thou saw and he preached and talked and convinced and begged and pleaded and counseled and argued and fought and came back again and studied and came back again. Then you consented with him. It doesn't say that. When you saw a thief, you consented with him. And God says, look, that's how simple it is. And incidentally, I want you to know why I go to the extremes that I do. Because God wants to answer every one of your stupid objections. So that truly you will be without excuse. Because all it takes is very simple. Just when you saw a thief, you consented with him. Now this word saw is very important because it means when you beheld a thief, you stared at him, had respect, looked on him joyfully, considered him, approved him, and had experience. That's right. See, so he said, if you would look at the preacher, stare at him, have respect for him, look on him joyfully. I need to see teeth, folks. Even if you bring him in a glass, I don't care. I'd like to see them. So if you behold, and behold means, wow, look. And stare means put your eyeballs on there. Let's see some pupils. Pupil, you'll never learn unless you're a pupil. I got to have both of them. Have respect. Doesn't mean you have to come here and say, well, he knows everything, I know nothing. Just take another look. Respect. Take another look. And by the way, while you're doing it, do it joyfully. Joyfully look upon. Then consider it. And then approve or disapprove. And then experience it. And the last part of sauce means to enjoy. And really, if you think of every vice you've ever gotten into, although the enjoyment doesn't last very long, you looked at it, you stared at it, you respected it, you looked on it joyfully, I can hardly wait till I get to do that. Then you considered it, you approved it, you experienced it, and then you enjoyed it. Too bad it gives you a hangover. If it wasn't for that one little quirk about it, it would be all right, wouldn't it? That would kill you sooner, but at least you'd have fun getting there. But it's no fun with that because it makes you enjoy, and then the next morning it makes you wish you were dead. He says, and that's all you did. You just saw the thief. And incidentally, the word saw has the connotation also of, it means, it comes from a Hebrew word that means a bird of prey like the vulture because of its sharp sight. In other words, God says, you got some eyeballs. Understand this. Here we have a church where we have people full-time committed to teach you and show you whatever it is that you want to know. Your house or mine, on the phone, at church, wherever you want. And you say, boy, that's hard to see. But consider this. Let's take something like drugs, okay? They're illegal. You don't just find them everywhere. I mean, you got to look and scope it out. You got to have sharp vision. You got to do some looking. Did you find them? You find the people that have it. You find out how to use it. You find out how to do it. You got good vision, my friend. The problem is you're like a vulture. You're only looking for dead stuff. Do you like stuff that's dead and rotting, as in cheese, and all those other things that are no good for you? See, I'm not going to just camp on drugs and alcohol. I'll get all of you too. You eat like a vulture. And you know how vultures, besides spotting difficulty, they have a great sense of smell. They can smell something that's rotten miles away. You smell it out, don't you? Kids can find more trouble. I don't care where you put them. They'll find a way to get in trouble there. You can leave them in the middle of this church and walk outside for 2 seconds, and they'll find a way to get into trouble. They're vultures. Well, the big kids are just as bad. And incidentally, that's why your little children are always getting in trouble. They're always looking for trouble because you do. Sometimes it amazes me that God would give the responsibility perfectly innocent little children to perfectly despicable big children. But that's the way he does it. So he says, first of all, your vision is no problem. Because everything that's wrong, no matter how well it's hidden, no matter how illegal it is, you find a way to find it. Now the problem isn't that you don't have good vision. The problem is what you're looking for. Now here's what else, I love this part. The Hebrew word where we get the English word sawist means a mirror as seen. In other words, the only thing that you're interested in is someone who looks like you, thinks like you, talks like you, acts like you. In other words, you need a mirror. That's all you need. He says, here's your difficulty. I've sent you a man from God who's here to be at variance with what's wrong with you. He doesn't act like you, doesn't look like you, doesn't think like you, doesn't talk like you, and therefore, you don't. You're looking for a politician. Understand how politics works, by the way. A politician will decide what's the most popular thing going, and that's what his principle becomes. That's how he gets the most votes. That's how he gets elected. Well, how is it that we vote for people? Not by what's right or wrong, what's good for me. The people that are on Social Security vote for people that say, let's give everybody $28 million a month. The people that are working say, let's vote for that guy that says no more taxes, nobody, everybody's on their own. We don't support nothing or nobody. Let them starve to death. I want to take my money home. See, so you're looking for a mirror. You're looking for someone that agrees with you. You're looking for someone that gives the reflection of you. Is it any wonder that you and I have the difficulties that we have? The minute I go to reflecting you, I'm in more trouble than I can handle. Basically, what this says is when you saw yourself, you see, that's when you consented. When you saw someone that agreed with you, when you heard something that required no change on your part, when you heard something and saw something that said you're all right just the way that you are, that's when you consented. And as a result, that's the only time your children will consent. They won't do anything until you agree with them. Everything else is push and tug and pull and spank and look after them and get them and watch them. Everything is just like pulling teeth.
Why?
Because you taught them that. That's why. You won't accept anything that doesn't agree with the way that you are. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him. Now let me tell you what this word thief means. Because I think you realize that it does mean a stealer. But from the Hebrew, it means something more than that. It's not just a stealer. It's not a person. It's not just what they do. It's how they do it. A stealer steals by stealth. Now, stealth is how a stealer comes. See, people don't walk around with a sign that says, I'm a burglar. No, they sneak up and they walk and they make sure nobody's watching, then they sneak in. And when they're walking on the street, they look like everybody else. They look like honest people. They do it by stealth. And stealth means a secret, furtive, and artfully sly action or behavior. They're sly. You pretend to be something else, but you're really not. You're really what you don't want people to know you are, so you pretend to be what everybody else is. So we get in here and we all say amen to the preacher. And then you walk outside and go, that's what I think of that. What happened to amen? You're a thief. First of all, you can always tell a thief because he acts in a furtive manner. Furtive means acting in a stealthy manner as if to hinder observation. In other words, they sneak up on you. They use whatever cover they can until they get close enough to you and then they grab you. Like a wild animal, a predator. In fact, that's what it basically means. It means a predator is one that comes by stealth. They creep up on you and sneak up on you and they use bushes and trees. And then when you're looking, they'll stop and they'll freeze. The minute you turn your sight, they'll start again. Secret, real slick, real sly, until they get close enough to the herd, and then they look for the very weak, either because of youth or because of age, or those that are injured, and they pick out their victim, the weakest one. It doesn't matter if they're the fattest one, the best, the weakest one. Then they single that one out, and then they sneak up on it. And then they kill it. And you know why predators do that? Because in the Garden of Eden, God fed all the creatures. Nobody killed anybody else. Everybody was fed by God. Now in the Garden of Eden, something changed. And some of the animals became predatory, stealthful animals. And God said, I'm not feeding you anymore. So what did they do? They turned on each other. And it's now called the food chain. One animal hunts this one, but you better watch your tail because somebody's hunting you. You see, the hunter always becomes the hunted. Well, why did they become that way? Because God stopped feeding them. Now, when God doesn't feed you, see, they can't eat grass. In the book of Revelation, we're told one day the lion's going to graze again, but they can't now. Why? Because they're predatory animals now. And God said, I'm not feeding you. And it isn't that God isn't willing to feed them. They don't want to be fed by God. And that's why they have to become thieves. They have to live by robbing others of their life. They cannot live. Their life cannot continue unless they take and steal somebody else's life. Then they can live one more day. But they had to kill somebody. Now, what's their problem? They're not being fed by God. Now, what is your problem, thief? You just won't be fed by God. So what happens to the individual that'll come to church as you do and you refuse to be fed by God? You become a predatory animal. You look for fault and weakness in others. You sneak up. You come in the guise of a friend to see what fault you can find. See what weakness you can single out. Why? Because you're not being fed by God. You want to feed off of your own kind. You have to capture and feed off of another animal. Why? Because God's not feeding you. Because God isn't offering you. No, you don't want to eat. You don't want the nourishment from God. You don't want the truth from God. And if you reject that, then you have to become a predator. Because everybody's got to eat. You cannot sustain yourself without being fed. And if you will not be fed of the truth, then you must live of the lie. And I know where you can find a lot of lies. Just look to each other. We can feed each other. And then what happens? Survival of the fittest. The strong bites you up and chews you out. And you turn around, you chew out your kids. Then they turn around and the oldest kid chews out the youngest kid. Then the youngest one goes outside and says, I got to find somebody smaller than me. And then finally the smallest one can't find anybody, so he breaks all his toys, does anything, dirties his diaper, anything to get back at you. We see what happens. We now have a food chain, a chain of animals. Why? Because the truth is not to your taste. You now act as a predator. And predator means one who lives by capturing and feeding upon other animals. What a sad condition when you think about that human beings start acting like animals. Even worse when human beings who become children of God by the shed blood of Christ Jesus, which as far as I know is everybody in this room, yet there's people in this room that cannot live unless they feed on their brothers and sisters. And Jesus said, feed the sheep, and you're bound and determined to eat them, aren't you? Lamb stew. Or lamb fries, whatever your taste is. Inside joke. But understand this, how the predator works, so that you can... Now understand this, if you're a predator, watch it. Because this is the way you hunt, but I'm going to tell you something, my friend. Something's hunting you the same way. You get in that chain of command and there is no superiority. You'll get yours. Be careful when you go to hunting. Because the hunter always becomes eventually the hunted. But let me tell you how predators, people that will not be fed by God, or animals, or both, they live by capturing and feeding upon other animals. Now first they have to capture. Now understand, they're sneaky. But they can't. What, an animal's going to say, hey, come and eat me. I'll be glad to donate my life so that you can live another day. They run like the dickens, don't they? Hey, nobody wants to. Hey, everybody's out for you to die. Nobody's donating their life. Only one is offering to feed you free, Jesus Christ. Everything else, you got to hunt like an animal. So you have to capture them first. And capture means to be taken by surprise and force. Now this, you know how we capture each other. Hi. Hi. What's your name? Do you come here often? This must be your first time here. I would have remembered someone like you. There's no way you could have been here before that I would not have seen you. Why, you light up the room. The minute you walked in that door, I knew there was something special about you. And when our eyes met, I felt the electricity, the magnetism. Getting close enough. Just close enough to grab you by the throat, don't you? That's the same guy that isn't going to change his shorts once you marry him. He don't
don't care after that. He's captured you now. Could care less.
Then you walk in the room and says, where you been, hag?
I'm hungry.
What happened to the magnetism and the aura as you walked in the door? I knew fate had spoken. What happened to that? He was a predator, wasn't he? And you fell for it, hook, line, and sinker, didn't you? Well, why did you fall for it? Before you go feeling sorry for yourself, why did you fall for that? Why did you let yourself be hunted? Because you're a hunter, that's why. If you would allow God to feed you, you'd never fall for a line like that. That's a sucker line. You'd never fall for that again. You're going to commit your whole life to some individual you've never met before based on what he's telling you he is? How many times, my friend, are you going to make that mistake? I suggest you sit back and try the waters a little bit here. Get out of the food chain or you're going to make the same stupid mistake again. More things that are wrong are done in the name of love than anything I can think of. Suffice to say they capture you. They want to feed on you. Now understand this. They're predators. They want to take you by surprise and by force. Now understand, when you're like that, then you're also a hunter. And I'm going to show you how what you eat snuck up on you and now has you. And now it's feeding on you. What you drink snuck up on you, grabbed you, and now it's feeding, it's consuming you. It's consuming your liver. Your cigarettes are consuming, they're eating your lungs. Your food, the junk that you eat, is eating the inside, the lining of your stomach. You are so dumb, you're eating stuff that's eating you. Now that just doesn't make any sense. But you see, in order to be captured, you have to become a captive. Now, the minute you're captive, I can tell you, watch out when you say, I love you. Be sure you're not being made captive. Captive means not able to act independently anymore. I've told you 100 times, man, you tell your wife the difference between right and wrong, and then you go do the right, and if she doesn't follow you, sayonara. Just turn the turn signals on as you're making a turn. Give her that much. If she won't follow that, bye. See, sheep have to be willing. They have to willingly follow. And all you can do is lead. And when you turn around, whoever's following you, there's your sheep. If nobody's following you, hey, so what? We are not cattle drivers. You lead. When you become captive, not only are you not able to act independently anymore, but captive means obliged or forced, whether wanting to or not. A marriage like that is doomed. 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 Never had a chance to begin with. Now, how can you make sure that you get into that kind of a situation? I'm going to tell you how. How you've already done it and how you're going to do it again. See, if you're into foods, if you are the kind of individual who likes things that you're obliged or forced to do whether you want to or not. I don't want to smoke. I know it's bad for me, but you can't help it. You want to, and you don't want to, but whether you want to or not, you do. You're obliged. You're already in the food chain. And you can apply this to drugs, alcohol, temper, your love life. I don't care what you apply. Anytime there's obligation and you've got to do something whether you want to or not, you're captive. And if you're a captive, you're in the food chain. And if you're in the food chain, you're a predator. And if you're a predator, it's because God isn't feeding you. And if God isn't feeding you, it's because you keep saying no to the truth. It certainly is not that God is not offering it to you. So you see, you become captive. And the reason that you become captive, the reason you're hunted this way, is that's the way you hunt. You only want things that you can take by force. That's why, ladies, hey, I know how you do it. Sneak up on him in the name of Fredericks of Hollywood. Hiding behind that poor man. And I use the term loosely when I say man, by the way. Good grief. Don't you understand? And that's another term. I'm going to stop that, by the way.
There's nothing good about grief. Thank you, Lord. And you know how you can tell if you're prone to being a captive? You like to be captivated. Captivated means to capture the attention and the affection by beauty and excellence. Oh, isn't she a fox? Now, why would a grown man want a fox? This thing with a bushy tail, they stink. They're sneaky, they're sly, and they eat rats. Say, oh, man, what a fox. You're right, partner. Out of your own mouth, you shall be judged. And forever after, you got to chase her with a bugle. You can never find that woman when you need her, can you? Well, hey, you wanted a fox, you got one, Dumbo. And then I like the lady said, oh, what a hunk. Don't you want the whole thing? You only get part, because that's all you wanted was a hunk. A hunk of a lump. That's why you get half a man, a third a man, one-tenth of a man, one-tenth of something, a hunk of something. God, don't you understand how you've been trained? You see what's wrong with the way we've been taught? You have a captivating personality to capture the attention and affection of by beauty and excellence. That's a sure way to ensure that you'll be alone forever. The prerequisite is beauty and excellence. That automatically means you gotta lie. You need help from Earl Scheib and Fredericks of Hollywood. You need a full paint job and maybe a little body work, as well as a complete makeover by this poor man that's in Hollywood, and I don't know how he has time for all of you. I really don't. You can see, if you're out to captivate, you automatically, you got to lie, folks. You got to lie like a cheap rug, as I've said so many times. Why? Because you think that that's the thing that puts a marriage together and keeps it together. The fact of the matter is, that's what puts two prisoners together. And one becomes the prisoner of the other, and vice versa. You constantly become each other's keeper. And you both have an animal for a companion. And you live in cages, and your house is a zoo. And you have to sweep it up. I mean, because it's all over the place. Everybody's full of it. And it doesn't matter. In the house, it's San Diego Zoo. You go outside anywhere, it's Wild Animal Park. But animals is animals, folks. What's the problem here? You're not being fed by God. You either didn't have a place where you heard the truth, or you didn't want to hear it, one of the two. But you got to eat. You must survive. And the individual that will not have the truth destines him or herself to have the liar. And I'll tell you, they'll come and they'll lie to you. They're politicians. They'll tell you what you want to hear. They'll give you the reflection of exactly what you want to see until you're captured. Once you said I do, once it's too late, once you've got a couple kids, once the papers are signed, then the real Mr. Hyde comes out. Then you got to go get yourself another Mr. Hyde who's going to skin you both to get you out of it. And I've had my share of those kind of people. I don't want any more. You understand what thief means now? He says, look how you've fallen into this. Look how you eat. Look how you pick your mates. Look how you hunt one another looking for faults. He said, who taught you all that? How many seminars did you go to on that? No, all you did is you saw someone like you and you just lapped right onto it. And you sit there and give me all these reasons why you don't understand how to do it right. You don't understand about, it's so hard. And one day God's going to bless you and release you. No. Till you stop looking for yourself. See, and that's really the problem. I'm going to tell you why you have the marital difficulties. You keep marrying yourself. Now, who could stand you? Well, it's obvious that no one can, because how many times are you going to make the same mistake and say, well, I've only been married once. Or I haven't been married yet. You liar. Look up the word marriage. And I've already
talked on that subject. There's been some marriages going on here. There's been more I do's than you can shake a stick at. Now understand this, once you're captured, that predator captured you for a reason, to feed on you. Feeding means to provide something necessary for the growth, development, or existence of something else. See, there are demon spirits, whether you realize it or not, who cannot be fed by God. They won't eat the truth. They won't be fed by God. So who are they looking to consume, eat, kill, and destroy? Who are they hunting? Do you suppose that you possibly could know who they're hunting? God's kids, that's who. Now, they can't do a thing with your soul. You're saved. It's going to heaven. But man, are they ever having buns for breakfast. And we even say, I said, man, I walk out and that guy really chewed me out. I'm 10 pounds lighter. Yeah, he did. And you are. I don't think much of his taste, but that's another sermon. But you see, here's the problem. There's something in your life that cannot exist, cannot grow, cannot develop, and cannot continue to exist unless you feed it. And that's why it is necessary to hunt each other like animals, because I'm telling you right now, God's not going to feed that wrong in you. Those bad habits, God's not going to feed them, but you're hungry. And if God won't feed them, then you got to feed on each other. And incidentally, it doesn't matter if you end up living by yourself. You will feed on you. You'll consume yourself. Feeding also means to provide satisfaction for. Do you understand what I'm telling you here? Drugs, alcohol, wrong food, they don't satisfy you. You're satisfying them. When you feed something, you're satisfying it. Now, if you're eating or drinking or smoking something that's consuming you, it is eating you. So you are providing satisfaction for it, and you think it's providing satisfaction for you. Well, if that's the case, why aren't you satisfied? Feeding also means to get support from. Now, I know when you first smoke the joint, drink the alcohol, snort the cocaine, or whatever you're into, eat the pizza, the cheese, whatever you want, whatever your poison is, you get support from it to begin with. I understand that. But the payment is, it then gets to eat you. And that's why your doctor says you have to stop eating that. Your stomach lining inside is deteriorating. It's been eaten away. Your stomach lining is ulcerated. What's happened? You ate something that's now eating you. You're in the food chain. You're a predator. You're not being fed by God. You have no desire for clean food. You have no desire because you will not be fed the truth. You will not accept the truth. You want lies, lies, lies. And that's why you have the appetite that you do. Feeding also means, or to feed something means, to provide material too that is to be used up and consumed. In other words, you aren't feeding your habits. Or your habits aren't feeding you, you're feeding your habits. They want to consume you. And I listen to you all the time, and out of your own mouth you shall be judged. You know what consume means? To use wastefully. And I've heard it so many times, let's get wasted, man, let's get wasted. Or, whoa, we got wasted last night. You dummy. Don't you understand what you just said? You said something that's consuming you and using you up wastefully. You're in the food chain and don't even know it. Now let me give you a couple examples of people that get into this predatory food chain. They're always hunting their own kind, looking for weaknesses in other people so they can justify their own existence. I want to eat that person. I want to take that life so that I can have my wrong exist one day longer. Got to live another day. I've got to find a fault because this fault in me is going to die if I don't feed it. So you look through the herd. Got to find this fault. Got to. And the minute that you do, your fault lives one day longer. Because like a predatory animal,
you have found the weakness in someone else, and you camped on that, and you consumed that, and you judged it, and you criticized it, and now your weakness is fed for one more day. That's why you don't come out of what you come. You want out, but you don't know how. You find judgment, you criticize other people, you try to find fault in other people, and all that's doing is feeding the fault in you. It's making your problem live one day longer, one more hour, one more minute that it can consume you, and you think somehow you have found justification because someone else has the same problem. How foolish. You're an animal. Let me tell you about some of the things. Cigarettes, let's start with that. They sneak up on you, don't they? They look cool. And the commercials make it look like it's fun and you look great and everybody's going to love you. And the women, well, they're going to go crazy for you. I wish we had smell-o-vision. And I don't care how it looks, when he says, hi, you say, bye. Man, your eyebrows will curl up. Unless you say, hi, back, and you got the same thing, then, hey, you live in an outhouse, I mean, after a while, I mean, what will it matter? Your mouth is as rotten as his. And that's why those kind of people like each other, by the way. I think it's the only one that can stand each other. They're used to the ooh. They're used to that aroma already. See, they every time they speak, it just... So they got to find someone just like that. That stuff sneaks up on you. Then it captivates you. Everybody that smokes those things has to. No choice. Eventually it captures you. And then it starts eating you. Emphysema, cancer, not to mention what it does to your wallet. If they made those things $20 a piece, I'm convinced people would still go buy them. They'd roll their own, they'd find somehow, they'd smoke something, their socks, anything. I don't understand that. What is it about dirty, filthy smoke in your lungs that's so attractive? Drive out to the city dump, man, you can be high all day long, and it's free. Just walk through there and inhale and say, oh, ooh, the rottenness of this. And I mean, there's always something burning over there. Go over there. All the dirty smoke you want. As long as you want it and it's free. People say, are you crazy? No, I'm not. I'm telling you an easier, faster way and a cheaper way. By the way, if you want to be stupid, do it smart. Alcohol is another one. It sneaks up on you, too. Always you look cool. You think you're so cool. Hi, baby. I'll give you half an hour and you're slobbering all over your tie. You don't even know which end of your tongue is hooked into your head. And then it captivates you. Yes, you do get addicted to that stuff. And then it starts consuming you. Cirrhosis of the liver. All kinds of internal digestive problems. Not to mention what it does to your family. And again, they eat your wallet too, don't they? Can you see how all these things have one thing in common? They're predatory animals, aren't they? And incidentally, the only people that these things come to are people that are in the food chain. You get out of that food chain and you'd be safe from this stuff. And all you have to do to get out of that food chain is let God feed you. The problem with God feed you is he has the nerve to tell you the truth. He's no politician. Food is the same way. It sneaks up on you and then it captivates you. And then you need a genie garage door opener to get out of your house. You can't go out the front door anymore. You got to go out through the garage. But you see, food is the most insidious of all. Because it gives you obesity and high blood pressure and high cholesterol, diabetes. Then your heart attacks you. You get a heart attack and then you get this attack and finally you end up with an ugly attack. Look, I don't care how you slice it, fat is ugly. Bones are not much better. Something in the middle is what I'm prone to. But you see, you become a captive. You are captured by your food. You are captured by what you drink. You are captured by what you inhale. And when you're captured by it, it's always something that snuck up on you. You didn't think it was going to be that way. And all of a sudden, now that you know what it is and it's got you by the throat, it's too late. Now you got to have it. And then it starts eating you. And just like a wild animal laying there, everybody, now all the jackals in the world, when the lions are through with you, the hyenas, and what the hyenas leave, the dogs will eat. What nobody wants, when the vultures get through, the maggots will take. Is that a way for a child of God to end up? That's crazy. I'm going to tell you about the worst one of all now. You better watch this one. Love sneaks up on you. It captivates you, then it controls you, it consumes you. See, the problem with love is that you end up loving love. See, agape love, God love, doesn't work that way. The man or woman that's loving in a godly fashion is not going to be impressed by your Fredericks of Hollywood. Now, I'm not against that, by the way. We ought to look good, but that's not what we ought to make a decision on. But you see, the problem is love sneaks up on you, and then it captivates you. It's got you. And then it controls you. But you see, you can say that of any of these things. You did it in the name of love. Erotic love, something that made you feel good. And I know cigarettes make you feel good. They're killing you, but they make you feel good. Alcohol is killing you, but it makes you feel good. Drugs are killing you, but they make you feel good. The food is killing you, but it makes you feel good. So it appears that whatever makes you feel good kills you, right? Do I make you feel good? Ooh. Ooh. I'm trying to feed the sheep. I don't want to eat them. Understand this. The way you were trained, everything you love is bad for you. Everything that's good to your taste is a killer. That's just the way we are out of the womb. You put a child, a perfectly innocent child, in a room full of food, and I can tell you without a doubt what that child's going to go to. It's going to go to the candy, the ice cream, the cookies, the soda pop, everything that's, the cheese, everything that's wrong, that's what that child is going to automatically go to. Automatically, you don't have to teach them. Well, why is it? Are they born that way? No. You want to know why that child is that way? See, what is it about children? Does God put a curse? You're a cursed child. You will come out of that womb loving cigarettes and alcohol and everything that's wrong. No, 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 no. You know why that child comes out with all the bad habits? Because you've been feeding that child for 9 months, my friend. Every time you open your big mouth and ate something or drank something, guess where it ended up? In that child. And that child comes out already prone with the same taste that mama has. Now, why was mama eating and drinking all that stuff? Because dad was bringing it home. That's why. And that child is out of the womb, comes out with its taste already perverted because you ate wrong when you were carrying that child. Don't you understand that what you eat, you metabolize, you digest, you assimilate, and it goes into your system, and that child you're carrying in your womb eats the same thing that you do? Don't you understand that? And then you get so shocked and concerned when that child comes out with these horrible, horrible eating habits. And then some people say, well, I don't understand my child. He or she is such a crybaby. Oh, really? I'll go back during the 9 months when you were carrying that child, and I'll bet you were the biggest crybaby of all. Where do you think that child learned it? See, I don't care what you're eating, what you're drinking, what you're hearing, what you're thinking, what you're talking. That child, you're programming that child as you're carrying that child. Understand what I'm trying to tell you? That child just doesn't come out blessed or cursed. That child comes out as a result of what you've put into it. And husbands, you're not any better. You fight with your wife when she's pregnant. You go right ahead. You give her insults. You do the whole thing. And as she's crying and upset and hollering back, that child is in there listening to the whole thing and say, oh, this is the way we do it, huh? Well, hardly wait till I get out of there. Nobody going to sleep when I come out of here. And they don't. And that child becomes a living hell to you. And incidentally, why do you think there's such a higher incidence of child abuse now? Why? I'll tell you why. Because children are getting married and producing those kinds of children. That's all they've ever heard in the womb. That's all they ever hear afterwards. So then they make life miserable for you. So what do? Beat the hell out of them. You can't stand yourself. You spoil them rotten. And anything that's spoiled always attracts the vultures.
Stinks. Right away the ears perk up all over the demon world and say, hey, did you hear that? Sister such and such stinks. Yeah, she's right. And you got him right on you. Let me tell you a little something I learned, and God is, all of nature testifies of God. Remember the sermon on the white-tailed deer? Now this is a deer that's born, like all deers are, and the mom drops it right there. Now this little deer cannot run, cannot walk, anything for several days. So what the mother does, it puts it in a place, wherever, and the natural camouflage of the deer means it can't be seen, but it can be smelled. So what is, see, for the first 5 days of its life, this little animal has no scent. Ah, but it has the afterbirth, the placenta, all the things when it's born. So you know what the mother deer does? Licks and licks and licks that little deer clean. So there's no smell whatsoever. Then leaves it there, and the deer lays real still with no scent, and nobody can find it. Why? Because they hunt by smell. See, predators always can only hunt that's decaying and dying, something that's rotting. So if you keep putting rotting things inside of you, boy, this is going to be graphic. I'll let you imagine the rest of it. Don't eat rotten stuff, okay? Your breath stinks. In fact, everything you do stinks. But I mean, listen, you cannot, let me tell you something about food. When you can go to any dump you want, by the way, and I'm glad I said this after dinner. You can go to any dump that you want, and when the food is there and decaying, it gives off a gas, a flammable, stinky, oppressive gas. That's a sign of decay. Something is rotting. Now, when you eat food that's already rotting before you ate it, and it takes forever and a day to digest it, it stays in your system too long. So when you say, hi, man, you better have some scope that's out of this world, because you are rotten, my friend. You're eating wrong. See, where do you thought the bad breath started inside your mouth, didn't it? No. It starts way down here. And what's happening here? You are being fed and you are eating wrong. You look for wrong things in your physical food. You look for wrong things in the spiritual realm. You look for wrong things in the marital realm. You just look for wrong things. And he says, look, when you saw the thief, you sure had no problem consenting with that. And nobody had to have seminars and sermons and counseling sessions. And no one had to do that to you. No, he says, with that, you consented with the thief just by seeing him. And consent means to be pleased with. You were pleased with it. Consent means to set affection on, to approve and to enjoy, to be favorable and to take pleasure in. And you know what the problem is? You have difficulties with this message that isn't to your taste. Because the wrong in you can't take pleasure in it. And listen, if you want to come to this church, and you're expecting me to give something to you to eat that wrong in you is going to like, you have a long wait. And you ought to thank God that I'm not willing to do that for you. He says, here's the problem. You consented. Consent means your voluntary will. You saw it and voluntarily made a decision. That's what I enjoy. That's what I want. Now, if it was that easy to agree with the thief, why do you have such a hard time agreeing with the Lord Jesus Christ, the only one that ever loved you, right, the only one that'll never change toward you, the only one that gave up his life for you, the only one that ever gave you an example of what love was about, and him you cannot stand.
You find fault. You find ways. Try to find ways to get around it. But the thief, right away you consent with him. What's the name of the title of the song that you composed? I knew what love was all about until. See, there's only one who'll ever love you. He'll be the first one and the last one. Ain't nobody ever going to love you like that again. And I'm telling you something. I don't love any of you. I'll be honest with you. The only thing I can offer you is I can allow Jesus Christ to love you through me. I don't love you. It's not in me. And you don't love me. It's not in you. You have wrong love and I have wrong love. But if you let the truth in you love me, then Jesus will love me through you. Don't lie to me, and I won't lie to you. If you don't want to talk, if you don't want to confess, if you don't want to hear, then don't come here. Don't call me on the phone. If you don't want it, don't lie to me. I won't lie to you. If we can't love each other right, at least love each other truthfully, okay? Don't give me your song and dance, because I don't want to hear it. Because it's not that hard. When you saw the thief, you consented with him. When you saw the thief, you voluntarily. And look at all the wrong faults you've developed so simply. And God is asking you to develop just one good fault. Just one. Come to church and let me feed you. And that'll make you healthy again. And one of these days you will change. If you eat right, you will change. That's all he asks you to do. It amazes me, folks. I'll tell you the truth. You don't know diddly about this stuff. And the minute you sit here and I've prepared a meal for you, everybody's the galloping gourmet. You're messing with the recipe is what the problem is. And if you knew how to cook so well and if you knew the truth, then why is your life a mess? You know the sad thing about it? Your dog doesn't even obey you. And you know why? Because you don't even obey you. Your word isn't worth a plug nickel. And neither is mine. There's only one word that means anything. Jesus Christ. The truth. That's the only thing that has power. That's the only thing that is truth. But you see, the predatory animals will always consent with the thief. And don't feel bad. Don't think there's something wrong with you. Internally, spiritually, you're as good as me or anybody else. God's no respecter of persons. You only have one problem. You're in the food chain. You're a sneaky, sly, conniving, predatory animal. And you live by capturing and feeding on your own kind. That's your problem. You can't ever deal with you. You can't ever deal with the demons in you and the wrong in you. You have to feed and find fault and capture and sneak up and look at other people and find fault in them and feed that to your wrong so your wrong can live one more day. Therein lies your problem. And until you stop that, you're going nowhere. And if this church comes down to just me and my family, or just me, I'll still be here. And I have to preach to that machine and then sit over there and listen to me and say, amen, brother, I'll do it. I've done that before, too. Amen. And not even in a room like this. I did it in my own kitchen. Preach up a storm, man. Nobody to hear me. Nobody. Then I sit back, put my feet up on the table there and play it back to myself. Say, that's good preaching, man. Ain't nobody else wanted to listen to me. Well, I grew it up on it. And I wish you'd do the same thing. Brother Ken, would you close the services in prayer?